We are back again with another thrilling edition of Natsukashi, where movies and memories sometimes clash. And tonight, we have a returning guest with us, one of our regular contributors, Mr.
Jason Pliskin.
Mr. Pliskin. Mr. Pliskin, let's go over the film that you have so selected this evening.
The movie Baby, which is a dinosaur version of E.T., I guess. These two research scientists go hunting for this alleged brontosaurus that's living in the Congo. They happen upon a family, two brontosauruses, and the baby, the third one. The mother ends up getting captured by another scientist and I guess some like an African militia army. And he wants to take the dinosaur, promote it, publicize it.
King Kong
like,
style.
Yeah, kind of like in King Kong. And two scientists, Sean Young played the female, have to take care of the baby and also try to save the mother at the same time and keep the poachers from catching the baby dinosaur.
The two lead actors in this were William Catt and Sean Young. William Catt played George Loomis, who was a baseball player who kind of begrudgingly went along with his wife, who was a paleontologist.
Who was
yeah, Susan Matthews Loomis.
George. It's a hatchling. It is. It really is.
We'll take pictures.
We're looking at 150 million years ago. My God.
You realize you're going to be the most famous scientist in the world?
You're going to cover it.
It was released in 1985. This was an underperforming Disney film. Disney didn't really know where to put this, and for reasons we'll go over in a little bit, because it wasn't necessarily the prototypical G-rated family-friendly film. This went on their Touchstone distribution company, which was a little bit more for adult fare. There were a ton of movies that were essentially released right around the same time in March and April. Desperately Seeking Susan was released that same
weekend
after.
I don't know how you missed that one.
It was also a week prior to the reissue of Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
It was re-released in theaters that week.
I didn't know that.
And the Care Bears movie?
Good luck, Care Bears! We're counting on you!
This went head-to-head in theaters with Friday the 13th Part 5, which was A New Beginning. Most importantly, it was also Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon. You remember that one?
Isn't that the one, the Shogun of Harlem, shown up?
Yes, they're remaking that movie. Also, Porky's Revenge, which was Porky's Part 3. Also around that time, Police Academy 2, Cat's Eye, Moving Violations, a favorite of mine, a guilty pleasure of mine. Two other films that I think should be worthy of episodes. Lady Hawk.
Lady Hawk's a great movie.
Matthew Broderick, Rutger Howard, Michelle Pfeiffer.
You had me with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, tell me about it. You still have me with Michelle Pfeiffer. Fraternity Vacation, one of Tim Robbins' earliest roles. Another one that I think would probably stick out in your mind, I don't know if you've ever seen it before, is The Company of Wolves.
I have not.
Do you remember that one?
No.
Angela Lansbury. It was a kind of a modern-day Little Red Riding Hood.
That sounds cool. Angela Lansbury and Michelle Pfeiffer, those two made me hot.
Yeah, those two together having like a hunger kind of thing where those two were together, that would be kind of sweet.
Now, how did it do going up against this film?
It performed very poorly. That had the lowest per-screen average. The other films, I think Porky's Revenge, between that and Friday the 13th, those two, Friday the 13th still had legs at that point. Last Dragon, it might have been beaten out by all of them. And in fact, the only thing I think gave it close competition was the animated He-Man and She-Ra movie, which came out the same week.
I think I may have seen that.
Yeah, it's not to be confused with the live action with Dolph Lundgren. I didn't mean to put Baby in a corner. Give us some perspective on this. When did you first see it?
Well, it was interesting that you said how poorly it did when it came out, because I saw it when it came out to the movie theaters, and it was went there as a matinee. My mom took myself and my sister, and I was, by this point, I was, I think, fourth grade. I think probably fourth grade at the point at that time. And I didn't read reviews on movies. I didn't pay attention to how he did in the box office. I just like dinosaurs. So I knew this movie was coming out with dinosaurs, and I went to see it. I thought it was the greatest movie I've ever seen. I thought the special effects were cool. It had dinosaurs in it. This is the best film ever made. In my perspective, I thought it was a box office smash. That was just my little world of watching it. I thought Critters was a box office smash when it came out. So I was too young to pay attention to any kind of reviews on movies. I went in there. It had dinosaurs. It had action. It had more dinosaurs. I thought it was great.
What was your favorite dinosaur?
Grimlock from Transformers.
No, real dinosaurs. You ass.
Brontosaurus, actually.
Brontosaurus, really?
And come to find out that about 10 years ago, they discovered that the Brontosaurus wasn't really a dinosaur. They had it mixed up with another dinosaur, which is, I think, the Apatosaurus. So my favorite dinosaur growing up actually never really existed. It was something else.
It's kind of like knowing now that Pluto isn't really a planet. I know I was a big T-Rex fan. I mean, Stegosaurus was probably my favorite, but the T-Rexes were always the badass. Now to know that the T-Rex wasn't even the biggest dinosaur, you know, it deflates that balloon of our childhood, which I'm still bitter about. You went to see this in the theaters then with your mom?
I went with my mom.
Okay.
Dad was not the type to go to the movies that often.
Okay.
But this was a mom matinee movie.
You walked out of it wearing your brontosaurus hat, vowing to one day be a paleontologist.
No, I was actually vowing to become a dinosaur when I left the movie. Didn't know how I was going to quite accomplish that. Probably for weeks after that, I pretended I was a dinosaur and I'd play and stomp things. You know?
Yeah, stomp all over mom's flowers.
This is also the time period where I got into Godzilla, so all these things are working themselves
together.
Do you
remember Shogun Warriors?
Now, Godzilla!
Godzilla! You can pretend Godzilla turns a mighty castle into a pile of sand.
Go do it, Godzilla!
You control Godzilla's ugly tongue. You can make him stomp, pound his tail, pretending he strikes it all in his way. You can launch Godzilla's claw for the final blow.
We did it!
What will Godzilla do next? It's up to you. Godzilla with a claw that launches, some assembly required, from the Shogun Warrior collection by Mattel.
I had a Godzilla Shogun Warrior. It was probably about 2 feet tall, movable arms and legs, and had wheels on the bottom of it. You can flick something in the back, and it had this little plastic fire.
I think I know what you're talking about.
What really got me with that is that they tried to adapt him to a Shogun Warrior, and all the Shogun Warriors had like missiles for their fingers where you could click a button and it would shoot missiles out. But the Godzilla one had one where you push a button and his fist would shoot out like a rocket. Like his entire hand would come off and shoot out. And that always bothered me, even as a child. This never happened in a Godzilla movie. He wasn't able to remove an appendage and fight battles that way. I mean, I could buy the plastic fire coming out of his mouth. I could buy the wheels on his feet. But I couldn't get over the fact that his whole fist shot out in defense. Godzilla was already badass. He didn't need a retractable hand.
I agreed.
The film starts out kind of like a Duran Duran video where it's men in fedora-like hats scrambling through streets, and we get a glimpse of something nefarious afoot that not everyone is playing on the same level field here. Some of the paleontologists actually have ulterior motives in this. And then it proceeds to go to this digging site where Sean Young's character, Susan, and her husband are situated, where she stumbles across a bone.
Yes. Downright Jurassic.
Fourth or fifth cervical vertebrae, don't you think? It's the neck structure of a brontosaurus.
A small head, a slender neural cord.
Let's carbon date it.
We could.
I'll get it ready. Paris or London? Shall I send a telex?
You could.
What's wrong?
This bone is about 80 years old.
No.
There's no point in showing me that, Susan, my dear. I wrote it, don't you remember? This, I think, is more what you should be looking at.
Oh, no. It's not a giraffe. Or am I just a total idiot?
She stumbled across a couple of bones in this movie. That's probably why it wasn't quite Disney. But anyway, you may continue.
When we watched this, it struck me that this was PG rated. It wasn't necessarily specifically aimed towards kids, but it had a very strange tone to it in that there were a lot of times when Baby was introduced that it was very juvenile, slapsticky, where at one point the dinosaur gets underwear on his head.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
Oh, get off my toe.
Oh, get up.
She's not feeling well. She's just a baby, George. It'll be all right.
You know, we're supposed to find that hilarious, and Baby kicks somebody in the crotch, and he comes and snuggles in a tent with the two main characters like a lost puppy. But then it's also filled with lead characters smoking, they're drinking, they're cussing. One scene, Sean Young is in her underwear. It was kind of suggestive for even a PG-rated film. And then it had nudity, too. I mean, it was National Geographic nudity, but it was still nudity nonetheless. But the line I think that clinched it for me that I was thinking, who exactly is this movie for? Your favorite character in there, was it Sifu? Sefu?
Oh, I can't remember. He's like,
he was essentially the main guide there.
No, he kept saying no problem with his catchphrase.
No problem.
William Catt is in an airplane with him. He's talking about the problems that he's having with his girlfriend who wants to stay in the Congo, and he wants to move on, and he's relating all of his problems to this guy, this carefree, Jamaican-sounding Rastafarian, essentially. And his response was, you know what I would do? I'd whip the bitch.
I'm one of six brothers and sisters.
Ah, is that so? I myself had 19.
19?
Yeah, my father had four wives.
Four wives? I got all I can handle with one. I can't let her get away with it. What would you do?
If it were my wife, I'd whip the bitch.
And laughs. I was sitting there going, well, wait a minute. Who are they marketing this movie for? Between that and then at the end of this film, not giving anything away, it turns into a rather violent film.
It has a violent ending to it, actually, in the very last scene. I do remember that scene when I was a kid. It was pretty intense. I still thought it was cool because I didn't like, without giving anything away, something bad happens to one of the bad guys in the movie, and I did not really feel any remorse for him because he was the bad guy of the dinosaur.
Right, so, right.
And nonetheless, it was a pretty creepy scene.
There's one scene where an African tribe member, in a very slapstick way, picks up an M16 and starts firing. And it's supposed to be comical, but here he is just kind of blowing people away. And there's so many levels to that that are disturbing. The fact that this African tribesman's learning how to shoot heavy artillery, that he's actually killing people and getting a good laugh out of it. It was a very awkward mix when you couple that with the fact that this dinosaur is supposed to be this lovable, cute little 2,000-pound
E.T.
or shelter animal, a shelter pet. It was a strange mix.
Yeah, this is it. What did we buy?
Looks like a brontosaurus.
No.
The animal itself, it was actually based on a Dr. Roy Mackel, who was a biologist, who was an engineer, and he was a biochemist. And he would go to Africa in search of what was considered to be a living dinosaur in the Congo. Mokele Mbembe, who went there in 1980 with a cryptozoologist. The legend took off for a little while, but it didn't have Bigfoot's agent or Loch Ness Monster's agent.
Not even the Yetis.
The Yetis still got more love than the ill-fated Mokele Mbembe. And it suffered the same fate that this film did. It opened up relatively quickly and then just kind of died a silent death. When you watch this again, did it still hold the same fascination for you? Did you still see the reasons why you liked it? Were you more critical of it this time?
No.
What did you think?
Watching again, I didn't really think it was a good movie. I guess I'm too used to watching the Jurassic Park dinosaur movies, which were a lot more dazzling. But watching it again, I could see why it wasn't considered a really good movie. For the time, the special effects are pretty good, but there were some scenes, and both of us were you were commenting on this as well when we were watching it, where you actually tell guys in a suit walking. You know, watching it, it looked really odd and clumsy. It definitely lost a lot of its charm from when I was a 10-year-old. But still, I mean, it wasn't a terrible movie to rewatch. It's not one I'm going to rush out and buy to put in my collection.
It wasn't boring.
It wasn't boring, but it definitely was nowhere near as exciting as what I remembered when I was a kid. Going into it as a kid, you couldn't help but not like the movie.
Do you think kids today would still be wowed by it, or do you think they would say, wow, that looks like a really bad puppet?
Anybody above 6 years old would probably think it was a terrible movie. Unfortunately, because if I was 10 years old again watching it, I'd probably like it. I definitely think it would be made fun of by teenagers.
Damn teenagers.
Yeah, again, once again.
Therein, I think, lies the central problem with Baby, is that anyone younger than six probably would notice the seams, the flaws, the fact that the animatronics weren't even that good. When you first see them, it is a fairly decent scene, as we mentioned, when we were watching it. But then they zoom in close and stay close on these creatures, and they couldn't afford but more than three or four different facial expressions on them. So someone who was six probably would find it at least passable, but then I would have trouble justifying screening it to a six-year-old because there's so many other objectionable things to it.
Yeah, a lot of gun violence, animal attack-related violence. From what I can remember, there's at least two scenes that were within the sexual nature of Sean Young and her boyfriend. Never showing it in the process of, you know, having sex, but, you know, building up to it, which it would be very awkward watching with a 6 or 7 year old. For some reason, I don't remember those scenes when I was a kid.
With a movie like Bambi, you can always justify the mom dying because it's a cartoon. And even the young kids, like even my children who are 3 and 4, know when something's a cartoon. My daughter will still say, oh, Daddy, it's just a cartoon, it's okay. And gets that. She's disassociated with it. But with this one, when a dinosaur dies, it's harder to have that distance to shut off the imagination because it's supposed to be a real 3D flesh and blood character.
Yeah.
Or scale and blood or whatever it is.
Scale and cold blood. Case for dinosaur.
It's just, I have the funniest feeling about this bone.
Any final closing thoughts about this most recent viewing of Baby?
It was good in 1985, but needed to stay in 1985. It doesn't age well.
And with that, we will bring this session to a close and hopefully stomp off into greener pastures and haven't gone the way of the dinosaur and still remain vital today, have evolved, shall we say. Well, Mr. Bliskin, thank you again for this contribution.
Always a pleasure.
Have a good night, man.
All right, take care. See you later,
bye.
Dude.
Whip the bitch!